Have you turned to page 761? We'll do a responsive reading of Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory, the God of glory thunders. The Lord upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion to like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And all in his temple cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Our second reading comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You can find it imaged on the front of your bulletin and in your pew Bible on page 597. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A reading from Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God for the people of God.
Let me ask you now to turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. This is a Bible story that comes up several times throughout the year. It is among these passages are probably the most oft quoted verses in the Bible entirely. I guarantee if you have ever seen the cameras pan the crowd at an NFL game, you've seen this John 3:16. You've seen that somewhere, I'm sure. Well, if you can this morning hear this as though for the first time, because for Nicodemus, this was the first time. These were mysterious and wonderful words that he could hardly imagine. Try to give yourself that freshness. You can find this on page 88 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it's just a reminder, we talked about it at the beginning of the service. Today is the first Sunday after Pentecost. It is Trinity Sunday. And it is Peace with Justice Sunday. And on top of all of those designations, the lectionary, the Bible readings, have a wide variety of messages for us from throughout the Holy Word. Now, clearly, there is a whole lot here to think about, a whole lot to pray about, to consider. So please allow me to focus your thinking just a bit. My mind kept coming back this week to the reading from Isaiah. This beautiful image of Isaiah in the throne room of God, volunteering to answer God's call. Let me read it to you once again and listen. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy Lord is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Well, if you pay attention when you read, you'll discover that many times throughout the Bible, we read about God calling people into service, calling men and women to help out in the tasks needed to bring about God's kingdom on earth. God firmly believes in equal opportunity calling. Think about young people like David. Think about more mature people like Sarah and Abraham. God calls us all. These stories, these call narratives, if you will, in the Bible have several elements in common. They usually start with a theophany, which means an appearance or manifestation of God. God shows up to somebody. There's usually an objection where the individual points out that God has the wrong person in mind. "It can't be me, Lord." There's usually a reassurance that by God that, yes, in fact, God has chosen the right person. And finally, there is the commissioning, where God explains the task or the calling that is required of that person. Well, in this specific case, Isaiah has a vision, a dream, if you will, where he sees God in the throne, on the throne, in the holiest of holies. That is the innermost chamber of the Jerusalem temple. This is the theophany for Isaiah. Now, it was said that people died if they were to look directly at God. So Isaiah is pretty shook up when he realizes that he is a serious sinner. "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So Isaiah is convinced that he is not worthy to do anything for God, but God has something else in mind. One of those flying seraphs with the six wings shows up with a burning coal from the altar, and he touches it to those unclean lips. He takes away all of Isaiah's guilt, and he cleanses him of his sin. This is the reassurance that God believes in Isaiah. Then finally, when God asks who will be sent out, Isaiah volunteers. He says, "Here am I. Send me." What a great story. What an amazing trust that Isaiah volunteers for this task before he even knows what God has in mind. Well, maybe one of the reasons that this story stuck in my mind is because, as I mentioned earlier, Jane and I attended Zach's high school graduation on Friday. It was a wonderful, moving event with lots of tears and lots of family. But if you look around, this surely is the time of year for many graduation ceremonies from high school or universities or colleges. In fact, many of you probably saw the coverage of President Obama attending the graduation ceremony at the Air Force Academy a few weeks back. Well, I want you to think about your own graduation from high school or college or perhaps a training program. Maybe you attended a graduation of a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter or a friend of the family. Do you remember that event? Do you remember what it was like? The point is often made during these ceremonies that graduation is a celebration of the accomplishment of years of training or study, the end of a period of preparation. But those events are also known as commencement, the beginning of a new chapter in the life of the graduate. Graduation and commencement. Today is also Peace with Justice Sunday. That's one of those six special Sundays throughout the year when we take up a separate collection to help support United Methodist ministries throughout the world. Today, I want you to think about the ministries that try to right some of the social wrongs around us. Situations where people are not treated fairly, they're not treated equally. Situations where people do not have the same basic needs met that we probably take for granted. Food, clean water, shelter, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, to name a few. Half of the money that you donate today will stay in the Rocky Mountain Conference, and half of it will go to support ministries throughout the world that support peace and justice. Well, this morning I want you to try to hold all of these lessons in your mind at once. As you think about the opportunity that God has presented to you this morning. As we heard the words of Psalm 29, we are reminded that we serve a God of power and majesty. That power is displayed all around us. We know God is the Holy Trinity, one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Depending on your age, maybe it was the Holy Ghost. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. God is as mysterious as the cryptic words that Jesus used to explain things to Nicodemus. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Yet God is as close as our Father, with Jesus as our best brother. This is the God who today is calling you into service in the co-creation of God's kingdom. All around us are people, sisters and brothers, who cry out in their need. Hunger, thirst, poverty, disease, oppression, bigotry, hatred, helplessness, even hopelessness. These needy sisters and brothers are calling out to you and to me. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Every Sunday, when we come together to worship and to praise our Lord, it is not so different from a graduation. We celebrate God's accomplishments through our faith, in prayers and sermons and music and witness. We have worked hard and come far with Jesus walking with us. We celebrate Holy Communion and sacred community in a safe, warm, protective, affirming place. The Holy Spirit moves among us here, just as it moved among the apostles on that first Pentecost. Each Sunday is also a commencement of sorts when God calls us into ministry beyond these safe and sacred walls. The real work of God's kingdom, the actual location of proven Christianity, is out there beyond these walls, in the real world, the secular, mundane life of everyday humanity. This difficult and delightful ministry begins when you leave this place. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him, and through each one of us. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? My sisters and brothers, it is too easy to hear this call and to decide that you are not worthy, just like Isaiah, to decide that God is talking to somebody else. But the gospel truth is that God is calling you. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I pray that each of us will have the courage, the faith, the trust to respond boldly, "Here am I, send me." Let it be so. Amen.